Well, good morning, people of God. Can we just breathe in the presence of the Lord today? Let's breathe it in, and when we exhale, when we breathe out, let's breathe out praise to our God. Adoration to His name. I'm going to read from the book of Psalms, chapter 95, just a couple verses here. Let this be an invitation into worship, into praise. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing out loud to the Lord. And let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. And let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." So as we praise Him today, can we just tell Him that You, oh God, are our God, and You're a great God, the great God above all gods, the great King. Let adoration rise up from wherever you are, right in your homes. Just rise up in praise. Just breathe out praise to the great King, to the great Lord. You are the one we love, oh God. You are the one we serve. And we sing to You with faith.
Come on. Let this place erupt with grace. Why do You look for the living among the grace? And Jesus lives, all the earth sing out. The power of death has been broken, and this changes everything.
With our hearts today, let's sing.
The God of creation took our place.
Thank You, Lord.
The God of redemption opened the way.
Yes.
The day You gave Your life, it seemed a failure in our eyes. But the stone it rolled away as You walked out. Perfection became sin.
Thank You, Lord.
The God of salvation changed everything. The day You gave Your life seemed a failure in our eyes. But the stone it rolled away as You walked out.
Changes.
God, what an honor it is to bless your name, to praise you. You are worthy. Your resurrection, it changed everything. It put all things in motion. Oh, so we rise up as people of God and sing your praises today. How worthy you are. Come on, let's join the heavens, all the saints and angels.
Saints and angels, they bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God
and sing, you're worthy.
You're worthy of it all.
Saints and angels. Give me glory, the praise and the honor, all that you deserve. We bring you glory. We join now with the heavens and all creation and the angels as we cry, holy is the Lord. We cry, worthy is the Lord. Oh God, day and night, night and day, we join in. We join in.
And day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day, let incense.
Day and night, come on.
Day and night, night and day, let incense.
Above all things, above all worries,
you are the above.
Above the things that we think we need.
Oh, from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve glory.
And now we just take just 30 seconds here just to lay down every idol. All the things we bow down to. Oh God, would you highlight by your Spirit, would you highlight the things that we glorify above you? You're the one who's worthy. You are Christ alone. Above all things. Above all things. You're the one who took on flesh. You're the one who died for us. You're the one who is resurrected on high, and you're the one who's coming back again. You're the one. You're the one. We look to you, Lord. Sing in Christ alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest trial and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Yes, we stand.
Oh God,
in Christ.
Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, His gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save.
And He is mine, born with the precious City, would you just lift your hearts up to Jesus? Begin to lift up adoration and thanksgiving. Let faith rise in your heart. We say, in Christ alone, our hope is found. In Christ alone, our hope is found. Christians are people who do not put their confidence in an outcome, but they put their confidence in a person. The person who holds their destiny in the very palm of his hands. And I just have the sense this morning, friend, that the Lord Jesus is calling some of you to put your faith in him, maybe for the first time, some of you in a fresh way. There are those of you that have tuned in to KRDO this morning, and you have been far from God, and you're feeling rocked by all of the circumstances of life. And Jesus is offering himself to you. He's offering himself to you as strength and as hope, as security for your future. And there's a great little story that comes out of the Gospels. This is Mark chapter 4. The scripture says, that day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side of the lake." And so leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were other boats with them. And a furious squall came up. And the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus, the scripture says, was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and they said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, "Quiet, now be still." And the wind died down and it was completely calm. He rebukes the wind and the waves just like they're unruly little kids. And then he turns, and this is what I want you to pay attention to, verse 40 of chapter 4. He turns and he says to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" See, sometimes I think that we think that faith in God secures us against all of the stuff that's happening around us. But I don't think that that's the case. I think that what happens is that faith in God secures us inside of all of the things that are happening around us. And Christians aren't people that never have chaotic things happen to them. Christians are people that know that whatever chaotic things happen to them, God holds their lives in the palm of his hands. And he's taken them straight through to the other side. And with that in your heart this morning, I just want you now to begin to let your heart rise to the Lord. And I'm praying the prayer of faith over you this morning. Lord Jesus, I'm asking that all of those that are watching this broadcast, that they would sense confidence in you, maybe for the first time, rising in their hearts. That they would know, just like the Apostle Paul says, that we are those who have died and our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And so I pray that from that place of confidence that they would walk boldly into their lives, that they would stand boldly in their circumstances, and that you'd make them a blessing to the people around them. Grant that, we're asking in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. As we prepare to receive our tithes and offerings this morning, because we believe that our lives have been secured by Jesus Christ, friend, we can be generous. We don't believe that our security is found in money. We don't think that our security is found in our retirement account. We don't think that our security is found in our possessions, but our inheritance is in God. And so what that does to us is it makes us generous. It makes us open-handed. And as we give, what we're doing is we're saying yes to all of those things that Jesus Christ, the resurrected one, is doing. And through the ministry of this church, we're reaching out to people. We've given away tons of food over the last 4 months. We're reaching out to our inmates in this area, making sure that they're loved. We're taking care of our international partners. God is getting the glory in this season, and he's doing it through you. And so as you give, just know that you're giving into that. Lord Jesus, here is all that we have, all that we are. We yield it to you. We ask that you would use the gifts that are given today, that you would take them, bless them, break them, and use them to feed the multitudes. Grant it, we're asking in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Three ways to give. You can give online, you can text to give, or you can mail in your offering this morning. Let's continue to worship.
Sing that third verse again, to the fourth. There in the ground, his body lay. Let's sing it together. There in the ground, his body lay. Light of the world, but darkness slain.
Come on.
In mercy for in glory.
Since Christ has lost its grace.
guilt in life, no fear in death.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to divine arrest, Jesus commands my destiny.
Come on.
No power of hell will steal a man. He can ever throw me from his head. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
In the power of Christ I stand. Oh.
Till he returns or calls me home. You can find us here standing on the power of Christ. Of all the areas we could stand, of the sinking sand that's out there, we stand on the truth and reality and the power of Christ. If you're with me, say amen. Awesome. Friends, grab your notebooks, grab your Bibles. We're going to hear the word of the Lord from Pastor Brady. Really believe the Holy Spirit has something special for us. Grace and peace, friends.
Hey everyone, we're so grateful that you have joined us on the broadcast. However you found us, we are grateful that we've got this time with you to pray together, to sing together, to study the scriptures. I'm Pastor Brady here at New Life Church. If you're joining us on Facebook, thank you so much for being a part of that. Or if you found us on newlifechurch.org, so grateful. Or maybe you watch us on YouTube, thank you for subscribing there. We have worship songs that are part of our YouTube channel. We have all kinds of content. And so we're grateful that you're live on YouTube. And maybe you're watching on KRDO, the broadcast is all over the Front Range of the Rockies. We're grateful that you found us on television. However you found us, thank you for joining us today. And I have some good news. I announced last weekend that we're now no longer requiring registrations to be a part of the live services, in-person services here at New Life Church. So if you live around Colorado Springs and you're looking for a place to gather with a group of imperfect people that love Jesus, then come be a part of New Life Church. We have five weekly services, all right here in the North Building on Voyager Parkway. We have Thursday night at 6:30. Pastor Andrew Arndt teaches, and the team from New Life East lead that service. So if maybe Friday night works better for you, Pastor Daniel Grothy leads that service Friday night at 6:30. And then we have three services on Sunday, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 5 p.m. with Pastor Glenn Packiam. So all you have to do is show up. Now, because we're still in a transition time here, the seating is still limited, so you need to come early. If you show up late, you might have to worship with us in an overflow room because we still have very limited seating here at New Life North, but there's no registration required. Just pick one of those services and be a part of the live gathering. We would love to see you and love to say hello to you. So if you're in town, I hope to see you at one of these weekly services. All right, open up your Bible to James chapter 4, and we're also going to be in Matthew chapter 5. So James 4 and Matthew 5. We're in a series of messages through the book of James. And we titled it Walk This Way because James, the half-brother of Jesus, I love that he was very matter-of-fact. James is very practical. James gets right to the heart of the matter. James knew what it meant to follow Jesus. In fact, James had more firsthand knowledge of the person of Jesus than maybe anybody except the parents of Jesus. He was the half-brother of Jesus. He had spent every waking hour knowing Jesus, talking with Jesus, understanding Jesus. And so when James writes this pointed book to the people in Jerusalem, he gets right to the point. And I love his very practical way that he describes and defines how it means to walk with Jesus. James chapter 4. So I'm going to answer a question today that I think is very important for us to answer as a culture. James tries to answer this question. And the question is, what causes fights and quarrels? We're living in a world right now where there is fighting and quarreling. There is huge anger and evil even spewing up all over our world right now, in the political realm, in the cultural realm, even inside the church oftentimes. James is talking to church people here, but he's also applying this to the greater reality, the world that we're living in. And he asks the question in James chapter 4, verse 1. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Now he's saying, church people, listen, church people, you're fighting, you're quarreling. The world is a mess, but the church should be something different. We are the alternative community. We should be showing people what it means to get along. We should be witnessing to people what does it mean to live in peace with one another. But James says, listen, I'm looking at church people and you're fighting and quarreling. Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Look at that again. Look at verse 1 one more time. He says, don't they come from something that's going on inside you? There's something internal that is now becoming external. He says the condition of our hearts are broken. And because our hearts are broken, it's these words and this anger and this fighting is spewing out of us. Look at verse 2. He says, you desire, but you don't have. So you kill. Listen to this. James says, when you desire something and you can't get it, we're all tempted to kill. That's sobering words from James. He says you covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. But you do not have because you do not ask God. He said you have given over to desires that are not healthy. You're now pointed your affections toward the world, and you're reaping the harvest of that. You see, the problem was not something out there. The problem was not the world out there. And oftentimes, when we find ourselves broken, it's easy to blame everything else. It's easy to fix our eyes as, well, if the world was better, if the world was calmer, I wouldn't be behaving like this. If our political climate was better, I wouldn't be behaving like this. If those people were nicer, I would not be so angry. This is a common temptation for all of us. The problem was not something out there. James says the root of the problem actually is inside all of us. You see, these people were full-blooded descendants of Adam and Eve. James is pointing us back to the original sin, the original story of the Bible, where it all went wrong. And so I want to take us back there today, and I want to show you how this battle started. This is not a new phenomenon. Listen, we're living in a world that's been turned upside down by pandemics, by rioting, by racism, by anger, by vitriol, we've been turned upside down. But this is a problem that started from day one. So in order to know what the problem is, we need to know what the original prescription was. What was the original design? What did God really want to happen on the earth? Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. In the original story, the creation story that we have in our scriptures, it says, so God created man in his own image. In other words, we as people are supposed to be reflecting the triune nature of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then he says this, listen to verse 28. God blessed them. God breathed upon them. He blessed them. And he said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Let this place be a blessing to you. I am going to bless you. Now you go and take that blessing that I have given you and spread it out everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, be fruitful, be increased, fill the earth, subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. In other words, here's what Jesus was saying, what God the Father was saying. I have given you life. So wherever you go, give life. Don't murder with your heart. Don't spread evil. Don't spread the disease of quarreling and fighting. He says, I have given you the blessing of life. So you go now, wherever you are, and give away the life that I have so generously given you. So, you know, if you don't know the story, it all went horribly wrong, though. Adam and Eve chose the cheap and easy over the holy and the sacred. And they took a shortcut, trying to get closer to God, to become like God. If you don't know the story, it's a story of human beings choosing something that was cheap and easy. They chose a shortcut. Instead of the faithfulness of God, they took their own path, their own way. And suddenly they are thrown out of the paradise that God had established for them. And the first thing that happened when humankind got separated from the blessings of God, you know what the first thing that happened? Murder, quarreling, fighting. The very first sin that happened outside the Garden of Eden, when they were thrown away from the blessings of God, when they separated themselves from the life of God, death came into the world. And it's a story of two brothers, a brother named Cain and Abel. It says, now Cain said to his brother Abel, Genesis 4, let me show you this. Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. The first sin, the first thing that happened was murder and mayhem. This is what happens. Listen, brothers and sisters that are watching, this is exactly what happens when we walk away from the blessings of God, when we separate ourselves from the goodness of God. We're all tempted to quarrel and fight. And James says, we even have this temptation to murder, to kill. This has been the human condition since the beginning. We're all tempted to fight, to bring violence into the situation. And then the Lord said to Cain, so God shows up to Cain after this murder had happened. The Lord himself shows up to Cain. He says, where's your brother Abel? Where is your younger brother? The one I gave to you, the blessing I gave to you. Brothers are a blessing. What happened, God says, to the blessing that I gave you? And Cain, of course, lies. He says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Listen, that is one of the saddest stories in the Bible. Cain had everything. Cain had the blessings of God. Cain had a brother that would have done anything for him. But when he separated himself from God, murder came into the story. So let me answer your question. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. That's our assignment today. Actually, I have an assignment. You know that I am responsible for you. You are responsible to me. We have a responsibility one to another. God wants us to choose responsible life. He wants to give us life. God's gift to us is life. So we cherish and we protect life. That's why the church from the beginning of time has been pro-life, because we see life as a gift. We see God giving us life. We believe that God breathed life into us. Therefore, wherever we're called to go, whether it's the baby in the womb, whether it's an elderly person who is struggling for life at the end of their life, wherever we find people being attacked, wherever we find injustice that's causing people to lose their life, the church has always stepped into that vacuum. The church has always stepped into that space. In fact, later on when Moses got the Ten Commandments, I find this fascinating that one of the Ten Commandments would be, you shall not murder. I mean, to think about this. You would think that would be the one thing we could all agree upon. Don't kill one another. But if Moses had to remind people, even in the Ten Commandments, you don't need to kill people. Don't murder. Don't bring death into the place of life that I've given you. That's fascinating to me that they still had to be reminded that taking another life, that destroying people was not God's design. All right, now so when Jesus shows up, about 3,000 years later, Jesus shows up on the scene. This is Matthew chapter 5, and this is a part of the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, so Jesus is in front of a big crowd of people. Matthew 5, verse 21. Listen to what Jesus says about this very topic. He says, you've heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder. I think we can all agree on that one, right? But again, Jesus is having to remind the people in front of him, don't kill each other. Don't murder one another. And he says, and anyone who does that, who murders, will be subject to judgment. But then Jesus doubles down and takes it to an entirely new level. Listen to what he says in verse 22. He says, but I tell you, Jesus says, I'm about to give you a new understanding of this ancient law. He says, I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Stop just for a moment. Are you seeing this? Are you reading what I'm reading? Are you seeing that? Anyone who is angry with his brother is already taken one step toward judgment. I don't know about you, but I've actually probably violated that in the last few days. I've been angry. We've all found ourselves, we're all a little thin right now. We're all a little tired. And I suspect everyone that's watching right now, you've probably been angry. You found your emotions coming out of you in a way that you probably haven't had to happen in a while. This crisis that we're in, the pressure that we're feeling is causing angry outbursts on a scale that I've never witnessed in my entire life. Anyone who's angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Listen to this. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca. Now, we don't know what that word, that's not a word that we use, but that's a word that they would have used. And I'm going to tell you what it is in just a moment. He says, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger. Listen to this. This is Jesus. This is not some person that's randomly trying to describe something. This is Jesus says, anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, if you find yourself in a church service, maybe you're in a small group, maybe you're just alone and you come before God, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. He says, in other words, put aside all the religious stuff. Stop doing all that stuff. Go first. First go and be reconciled to your brother. And then after that happens, come back in and offer your gift. That's fascinating to me. This word raca, by the way, is kind of an Arabic word for fool. It's calling somebody a knucklehead. They're a fool. They're an idiot. That's the kind of phrase that we would use. But the word raca was such a derogatory term. It was a dehumanizing word. And Jesus says, be careful what comes out of your mouth. Be careful of the accusations that you make about people. Be careful that you don't have murder in your heart. You know, I suspect that most of you that are watching probably have not considered taking another person's life. I'm just going to assume the best from all of you that are watching, that you don't have murderous intentions. In other words, you're not plotting the destruction of another person's life. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus was actually saying that many of us, while we're not going to physically take another person's life, many of us are harboring murderous thoughts about another person's humanity. In other words, have you ever murdered someone with your thoughts? Have you ever wished that a group of people or an individual person just would go away and never come back? Have you wished that someone would be harmed? Have you ever wished that someone would have everything taken from them? Maybe lose their health or lose their money, or maybe you wished that God would do unnecessary harmful things to another person. This is murdering people with our thoughts. We live, by the way, in a raca world. We're living right now where people are literally attacking. We're living in a cancel culture. We're living in a culture where people are wishing that other groups of people would be harmed irreparably. We see this being played out in the world around us, that one group of people are wishing that another group of people would simply be annihilated. And then this group of people responds with anger of their own. And I'm hopeful that that's not crept into our church. I'm hopeful that the church can show people how to live. Listen, every time we gather in this building, I look around the room and I'm startled at how diverse we are, how many people have differing opinions, young and old, black, white, and brown, men and women, rich and poor, how we all come into this room and we find common identity. We find community. We find unity in this room. And it's because we have found that Jesus is the great reconciler. We have all discovered that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. This could not happen unless the Holy Spirit was moving among us, and because Jesus brings us into one family. So I want you to look at this in verse 24. He says, first go and be reconciled. So James is talking about arguing and fussing and fighting. Jesus says, actually, it's possible to go and to be reconciled with people that you're aggravated with. And so I'm gonna show you something in the next few minutes. About 25 years ago, my wife, we've been married 31 years, but we were a young couple. I had a pastor sit down with me and Pam, and he taught us how to confront and how to reconcile with other people. And this, what I'm about to share with you, I've used this week. I've done this week. I do this almost every week with another person. I have learned the art of confronting someone, of going to someone and being reconciled. So I'm gonna give you some very practical things today. If you have someone in your life, if there are people in your life right now that you're separated from, there are people that you need to go and be reconciled to. Maybe you've been quarreling and fighting. Maybe you've had raka thoughts about another person. I'm gonna show you some practical ways in the next few minutes that you can salvage and you can actually redeem broken relationships in your life. Number one, always go confront someone in a timely manner. Don't let days and days go by before you go to this person and you talk to them. And I'm not talking about text messages, okay? I'm not talking about emails. I'm talking about personal phone calls. And if possible, I know we have social distancing right now, but if possible, face-to-face confrontation is the best. Listen, a lot of people are very fierce on the keyboard, but they tend to be sheep in face-to-face conversations. And I'm just telling you that it's time that we stop, don't send out the angry email, don't text the angry response. Call that person, especially if you value the relationship, call that person and say, hey, is there a chance we could get some coffee? Can we meet face-to-face, confront them in a timely manner? And then when you do have the meeting, let me give you some practical things. Number two, when you meet with them, start with affirmation. Don't start with accusations. Start with affirmation. In other words, I told someone this week, when you have that angry meeting with another person, tell them that you care about them, that you've been praying for them, and that your goal for this meeting is reconciliation. If you would say that right up front and say, listen, the reason I want to meet with you today is I really care about you. I've been praying for you. I just think God is about to do something in our relationship. And the goal for this meeting is for our relationship to be restored. If you start the meeting off like that, immediately all of the air goes out of the room. Suddenly the Prince of Peace walks into the room. Instead of the accuser of our brothers standing in the room accusing us to one another, the Prince of Peace walks in. So begin the confrontation with affirmation, kindness, lower your voice, be kind with your words. And then number three is really hard for all of us. Listen, tell me how you're feeling. Tell me what's going on with you. How can I restore this relationship? What has been broken? And just listen to the other person. Don't interrupt them. Let them share the story. Let their emotions come out. Let their feelings come out. Listen intently to the other person. And then when it's your time to talk, be honest. Be sincere. Tell them how you feel. Be honest with each other. Listen, honesty is going to bring healing. When you're not honest with what you're feeling, when you're not honest with your emotions, healing cannot happen. But healing can happen when you're honest and when you are sincere. And then number five, listen, be gracious. Give grace. Give forgiveness. Be quick to forgive, the Bible says. Be quick to give away grace. Listen, we're swimming in oceans of grace. All of our sins have been forgiven because of grace. And because we have received grace, we can give it away. In fact, most people respond positively to positive confrontation. Be gracious. Let me give you some words to use, okay? Here's three phrases. Learn these three phrases. Use these three phrases generously. Here they are. I am so sorry. I'm just telling you, I've had so many relationships that could have gone sideways, but when I look them in the eye and I say to them, I'm so sorry. Please hear me. I mean this with all of my heart. I am so sorry. And then follow that up with this next phrase. Please forgive me. I was wrong. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And here's the third one. I really, really value this relationship. Isn't that amazing? This is so simple and so easy. And right away, quarreling and fighting and arguing turns into friendship. A miracle happens. What could have gone sideways, a friendship that could have been lost forever, is suddenly restored. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I really value this relationship. And I want to remind you what Jesus said. On the cross, he has been falsely accused. Maybe you feel like you've been falsely accused. He had been beaten within an inch of his life. He had been spit upon. And suddenly he finds himself strung up on the cross. He's about to die for the sins of all mankind. You know what he says? Father, forgive them. And because Jesus uttered those words, we cannot hold unforgiveness in our lives. Because Jesus gave us forgiveness, we now have the responsibility to turn and give away the very forgiveness that we've received free of charge. I want to pray for all of you that are watching right now. And I'm asking for the power of forgiveness to come back into our lives. I'm going to ask our worship team to come. And in just a moment, we're going to sing this song, and then we're going to come to the table of the Lord. But first, I just want to pray for all of you that are watching today, that grace would come into your life, that forgiveness would come back into your life, and that we would find relationships restored and made whole because of these words today. Father in heaven, we receive your grace. We thank you that we've been freely forgiven. We thank you today that we've been freely set free from sin and bondage. So, Father, I pray today for grace to come, for restored relationships, healing in broken relationships, healing in our land, Lord. We pray that you would come and restore the broken walls of our culture. Lord, we do pray today that you would come and heal our land, heal our relationships, heal the broken divide between people today. And we need your grace. We receive your grace. And give us, Lord, the strength to give that grace away. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's worship together. If you're sitting right now, stand with me. Let's sing this song together. And get ready. We're going to come in just a moment to the table of the Lord.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet. Still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet. Your faithful God is
Friends, we have been challenged this morning. We've been challenged. Relationships are central to the gospel because they're central to the heart of God. God is a relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And His dream for the world that we live in is that one day every relationship inside of it would come to reflect the relationship that He is, relationship of love. But we'll never get there unless we own our stuff, you know? That's the strength of James's words. He tells us to examine ourselves. You've got desires that battle within you. And so only a people that can own their stuff, only a people that have been satisfied in God can really move out into the world in reconciling love. And so as we come to the table this morning, I think it's appropriate for us to remember the words of the Apostle Paul, who said that when you come, you ought to examine yourself, examine your heart. And so I want you, as you're holding the bread and the cup in your hand now, just to begin to offer up repentance to the Lord. Lord, we say to you this morning that we are sorry. We're sorry for the many ways in which our desires have spoiled and polluted your good world. We're sorry for all the ways in which we've allowed anger and bitterness to conquer our souls, and we've been carried away with hate for other people. We're sorry for that, and we're not going to bring that to the table. Instead, we're going to repent of that. We're going to repent of that. And we're going to lay that down, and we're going to ask that as we come to the table that you give us a new heart and a new spirit. And so do that in us, we pray. And so, brothers and sisters, with that repentance in your heart, I declare to you this morning that you are clean and you are free in Christ Jesus, that the old is gone and the new has come. And now as we hold the sacrament, the bread and the cup in our hands, we remember that this is His body. It's broken for us to make us whole. Let's take the bread together. And this, brothers and sisters, this is the blood of the new covenant poured out for us to forgive us our sins, to give us new hearts, to make it as though we've never failed. Brothers and sisters, the blood of Christ poured out for us. Let's receive together. And we say hallelujah and thank you, Jesus. And as you go this morning, I say to you, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, grace, mercy, and peace be with you.
We're so grateful that you were a part of today's broadcast. We hope that the message and the songs and the prayers and scriptures that you heard are encouraging to you. Next week, we want you to join us right here in the same place. Come be a part of the worship service every single week. We're grateful that you're a part of this, and we hope to see you soon. Have a great week.